January of this year. So Raccoon was the longest production ever in the history of the band.
Were all your musical desires fulfilled finally, as far as that's possible?
You're right. You, of course, never achieve 100% of your own preconceptional ideas, but you have to have the longing for the 100%. I guess that's very important. As far as Raccoon, as a final product is concerned, we are very glad and satisfied that we could move that far.
Well, one thing I noticed is that Raccoon has too much of what could be called positive energy. I don't mean that in the overused new age aspect of the term. I mean, you just feel good listening to the record and want to start doing something creative yourself. Did that occur to you while composing and recording it?
Right, I'm sure you can't program these things like setting a watch. But what happens was that before starting the production, we've changed quite a few things within the band and realized that the output of a record is directly related to the input. Okay, that sounds childish, simple, but most of the time it's forgotten. So we just worked very hard and intensive on a time we felt very strong and definite about things we've been doing. The other time periods when things got us down, for instance, we didn't touch the production. And that's why it has taken so long to finish everything.
On no other Tangerine Dream record can you hear so many different guitar sounds like on Raccoon. Any special reason or just pure fun doing it that way?
Well, since the early days, the guitar has never really lost its magic. And if you're able to use it as an extension of the sung or spoken word, it's still great fun expressing yourself in a very intimate level. Okay, that one would say that might happen to the use of other hand-played instruments too, but the guitar is possibly the most, I put it my way, erotic and emotional member of the instrumental family. That's why it never will become really an old-fashioned instrument. In musical terms, the guitar has this funny parallel symptom of directness and at the same time the ability to subtly change the frequency and character of the entire sound.
Beside your studio works and live shows, it's probably true that the single most important factor that led to TD's worldwide acceptance was your introduction into film scoring. Has your enthusiasm changed, or are soundtracks still a very big factor in your schedule and your career?
Oh, we still love working for the big screen and could never complain about a slowdown and getting offers. Just last year, we had to cool down the scoring activities quite a bit because of the very intensive work on Raccoon. But right now, we are into production again for release later this year.
When doing movie scores, there's a danger of composers losing their self-identity due to pressures created by producers and studio executives. Did that ever play a bigger role in Tangerine Dream's quite successful career as score writers?
No, not really, because you have to realize at a very early stage in your activities in the movie industry that you're being hired to serve on a very effective and professional level. And it does not mean that you necessarily have to become a musical idiot just because you have the status of a rented object for the project. if you can't deal with your musical ego and overestimate always your own subjective opinion, then you better stay out. You have to know that you are a part of a production team, not more, but not less. And it isn't seldom that the production budget for films exceeds the $25 million limit, and therefore you as a musician have the role of a painting on the wall of an expensive interior design that obviously can change suddenly. So when it becomes evident that the music accounts for 50% of the film's success and the media all clearly point this out, then you gain great worth and are suddenly a well-traded stock.
Throughout your career, you've worked with so many different musicians. Was it a strange feeling as you found yourself together with your son Jerome in the same procedure you went through with all the other colleagues? Did he volunteer?
In the earlier days, I always thought it might be awkward or obvious to bring your own kid into the band, because very often the father-son relationship turns out to be a disputeful disaster sooner or later. So I did not force or threaten him to even to learn an instrument. But he started playing drums at the age of 12 of his own choice and switched over to guitar and then finally to keyboards. And today, 10 years later, his presence is very self-confident and fruitful. And I would say that has absolutely nothing to do with the family aspect.
What's your general comment on critics? I know you've received some very strange critiques all the way through your 20-year career.
Well, you can't turn a dancing grizzly into a ballerina. And 99% of the critics are dancing grizzlies. That's it.
The world can be a painful and stressful place. How does the band counter this? Is the act of creating itself liberating?
Well, the world has never been a friendly and peaceful place, or if you stop looking for paradise on earth, does it give you a sense of reality? So the process of getting disillusioned again and again won't hit you anymore. That, of course, doesn't mean that you should assimilate yourself to the absurd, degenerating development of the human race. I mean, you should never give up searching for a way out, of course, in relation to your own abilities.
Some years ago, in an interview, you said that when you go into the studio, you compose yourself. What does that mean?
We simply feel that you can't compose in any other way than explaining yourself in music. Your life, your thoughts, your desires, your beliefs, not considering the likes or dislikes of an audience or even a record company.
It's said that you never really made compromises, for instance, in terms of record company's commercial desires.
No, that's true. We simply never did that. We are aware that we are part of a business game, but we sound music, not streamlined refrigerators or other stuff. And we have the strong belief that there is a difference between the two.
Few internationally acclaimed groups can present 20 years of hard, without a loss in dynamic, successful work. Does Tangerine Dream have a secret recipe?
Yeah, if we had one, we certainly wouldn't talk about it. Actually, we have a few basic rules. with which we work, and also a few tried and true models by which we organize our free time and, so to say, experience our free time. A meaningful mix from both areas provides good moods, and that is exactly what you need in this nut house of emotions and business dealings. In order to find your way through satisfactorily, Tangerine Dream doesn't need to have a hit each month, and we don't have to be the musical belly button of the world. Exactly this attitude enables distance and brings quietness to the work. It separates the useful from the unnecessary, also in private life.
Do you really have a so-called private life still, or what's it like with your full schedule?
Oh yeah, exactly as much private life as necessary, so that the relationship to humans doesn't get lost. But mostly we meet with persons who don't have a thing to do with music. Therefore, creative jugglers from other artistic camps are of great value to us, at least where our interaction in private life is concerned.
Has playing live currently as much worth as was the case earlier?
Absolutely. It is not as simple, or more concretely, some things are simpler because people understand that you don't play 32 position sequences with a small finger while you play the melody with your thumb. Rather, you operate technologies which are predetermined and purposeful. Although we can play with two hands, we play, and we get enough response, you still have contact with the audience. The audience brings you something every day, something new, sometimes something old, sometimes, okay, a bit dull, sometimes euphoric. That is good when one needs that. Also, it's a little bit of the way of no return. You're booked. You have to go on regardless if you are feeling lousy or not. And we are, when you are up there and the first note you play is wrong, you fall prey to the ridiculous. That's the thing that actually makes everything equal, that equates the club musician to the superstar. A wrong note is a wrong note, a bad interpretation is a bad interpretation, and of course a bad sound is a bad sound.
How do you see your audience? I mean, at a Tangerine Dream performance, one doesn't expect screaming teenagers. How do the people react?
There, some things have changed, definitely. In earlier times, we put value on leaving the peanuts in the pockets completely quiet, big concentration. That was also right for the times and the development we had to go through. We didn't want to bring the audience near because we thought we were valued, but rather for the simple experience of seeing 6,000 or 7,000 humans quiet as mice. Sitting there was perhaps a bit of the feeling, man, if you just snap your finger, they are quiet. It wasn't the authority, rather the feeling that people really heard what you did. Today it's different. We've opened ourselves much more also musically and even in rhythmic directions. Some say we have more entertainment worth, while others find that too commercial. So, but I find one has to give musicians the possibility to cross different rivers.